بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. This is a mudhakara and a reminder that every Laylatul Jumu'ah, Thursday night, we gather together and we recite 40 Salat and Salam. We have to make dhikr also. So very important for us to understand that to prove anything as sunnah, there has to be proof for it. So this salat and salam that we read also is already a sunnah, is a practice for us to become habitual of reading. And we get accustomed to the words of Durood Sharif. So is that now necessary that we have to read in chorus together, that we have to gather people together? When it comes to nafil ibadat, which is after your farz and your wajib and sunnah, then we have nafil. And ulama explained that the basis of nafil ibadat is upon infirad. And when it comes to nafil ibadat, there we do it individually. There's time for congregational ibadat, like farz salah. That now, there's great importance that you have to gather together for farz salah. When it comes to nafil, nafil is between you and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is why you'll find in the Hanafi mazhab also, to gather together and to give da'wah to one another, they were reading Salatul Tahajjud Qiyamul Layl. So in the Hanafi mazhab is makruh. That way beforehand we announce that we're having Qiyamul Layl, all are welcome. So ulama explained clearly in the Hanafi mazhab, this is makruh, is not the right thing to do, because nafil ibadat is your own personal individual ibadat between you and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these things are not encouraged. But as we're doing it on Thursday night once a week, it's just for us to become accustomed to the amal. So even if I'm not here on a Thursday night, wherever I be in the world, Thursday night is my night, where I sit down, take out my kitab, read my salat and salam. So we don't regard anything as a sunnah. In the same way, when you come to the dhikr also, we make jahri dhikr, loud dhikr. Ulama will have difference of opinion also. Some say that there's no loud dhikr established in the sunnah. Some say there is. Some say not in the masjid, do it somewhere else, etc. But our kabir ulama, that mashallah, they studied the sharia and they had all encompassing mutala'ah and they knew all the masajid, etc. So they would make dhikr like this also in the masajid. But together with this, they would encourage us to make dhikr in a chorus form. This chorus way that we make dhikr also is just a sunnat way. This is just for our, they say, ta'aliman linnas, to teach one another how to make the dhikr of Allah. So when we make our dhikr also, then we make it softly. Hazrat says, our Honorable Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, the Barakatuhu, he said the dhikr that we make isn't very loud, no very soft. Just enough for you to hear yourself. And Mawlana said how beautifully also, that just loud enough that you can make it in the Haramain also. And nobody will even stop you there. Then now there you will make loud dhikr. They say, where this Peer Sahib came from now? So loud dhikr in the Haram is making. Security may come pick you up. And not too much of shaking also. Very gentle, that you can make it soft enough that you can hear it. Is enough to affect your heart. So the dhikr we make also in chorus, this is just now for ta'aleem. Is a proven a sunnah that you have to be together. Sometimes what happened now, brothers get over enthusiastic and they get a little bit of a high. That when you say it louder, they're all in chorus and they feel a little bit some ecstasy, or they get some vroom a little bit in them. But to make the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah, you make it with piyar and muhabbat. And you say it softly to Allah, you take the name of Allah. With pain of the heart, from depth of the heart. Doesn't have to be shouting and loud. So, because when it comes to dua also, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in Quran, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Then make dua unto Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, call unto Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, softly with humility. So we don't shout, we don't scream. There are times, yes, where you have to raise your voice. And when it comes to takbirat of tashriq, Qurbani time, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Then now we say it loudly. So all we see that we do, somebody has to ask them, we don't say, no, but you're doing it, Shaykh is doing it, or the Hazrats are doing it, so must be sunnat. No, it's not sunnat. So no need to make an argument, that no, we're doing it like that, therefore it is sunnah, it's not a sunnah, it's just for practice. And when it comes to dua after salah also, dua after salah, you find many people saying also, why are you making dua? You know, dua after salah, it doesn't have to be loud, it doesn't have to be congregational. you don't have to lift your hands, etc. So all these things are established from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he comes to after salah also, Nabi Ali salatu wasalam used to make du'as. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. There are a few du'as that are mentioned which we usually read after the salah, the farz salah. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam used to recite these du'as, and sahaba ikram were able to hear it. That's how we got the hadith. That's how we learned the du'as. So it was a bit audible, but not necessarily that they were making it all in congregation, because Nabi Ali salatu wasalam made the dua, and they weren't saying Ameen, they were also making the same dua. So we know these duas after Farz Salah, then we must read them. Or we must learn them. These are duas to be made after the Farz Salah. So there are four or five duas after the Farz, very short duas, also very, very concise. So here also, whether a person raises his hands, doesn't raise his hands, whether a person raises his voice, doesn't raise his voice, whether he wants to walk away also, all are permissible. So there we don't give a person daggers now. Hey, you didn't make dua. What's wrong with you? So we don't make it like it's wajib also. Some gunegar he is. But we know how many times after Fajr, we ran away also. After Asr too, we went away. We did some tasbih, Fatimi also. So all you see that is a practice. Many people say, okay, how long are you going to practice to teach the people? We know all the time, these young boys coming in the masjid, becoming baligh, now you see me in the first saf. Whether he learned his du'as, so it's all these new people coming into the masjid. But the salim will continue, and we're not Arabs. MashaAllah, Arab, even we put the poster up also, with all the du'as there, how many of the lame men can read the du'as correctly? You can't read it. From my own experience, in our masjid also, I ask a musalli sometime, that what du'as you make after namaz? He said, the same ones you make, we learn from you. One musalli, I don't know whether he could really read Quran Sharif also, Allah fill his qabr with noor, but he lost his mother some years ago, and then he popped up in the masjid, and he just approached me. Mufti Sahib, work out the date, the Islamic date for my mother's demise, but how are you, where are you from, where are you staying? And like that, slowly he became musalli, started reading salah. So sometimes he will put a request forward, Mufti Sahib, for Fajr namaz, read the surah. I said, how you know the surah? He said, no, I learned it from you. The Surah Qiyamah, Surah Dahar. And then I realized that keeping within the Sunnah and repeating and repeating and repeating, people learn the Sunnah Qirat also. They learn the Du'as also. The youngsters also learn the Du'as. So we're not Arabs that way we can, mashallah, pick up the Quran Sharif, learn the Surahs, or just learn the Du'as from one poster or some banner or something like that. It has to be repeated till we learn the Sunnah Du'as. But as we are reiterating, we don't regard making the dua like that as sunnah. We are making it for the ta'aleem and to teach the people this is how we make the du'as. So when it comes to things that should be done in congregation, that we give utmost importance. Salah, farz salah, congregation. Everything else, nafil, that will be not necessary congregation, that you can do on your own also. Even when it comes to isale sawab, there's no need to have a 3-day khatam, or 10-day khatam, or 30-day, or 40-day khatam. That wasn't found in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That too is an individual ibadat. To send isalu sawab, reward for the marhumin, that can be done from anywhere in the world. You don't have to get together. But this we find people give so much importance. We have to get together. Salah we're supposed to get together. But we find that so much of importance given. Alright, somebody is due for an operation. We have some khatam now. Get everybody together, some khatam. If only now the mothers could wake up there, men in the house, and get them to the masjid to make a salah with jama'at. That's farz. That's wajib. Then they must go for salah to the masjid. So then we should give due importance. But unfortunately now, we're giving importance to other things. You didn't make it for the da'at, why you didn't come? Ask the son, why you didn't make it for farz salah in the masjid? Make a problem there. But we're making a problem everywhere else where the priority is supposed to be, they were not giving priority. So our value system now is not correct. It's gone off a little bit, off the track, where we're supposed to be giving value to Salah, Jama'at, and that youngster going for his hips class, being there in the class, everybody is there, now's the time to be there. Now we're pulling him out from there, now he must do something else. So we should ensure that what is correcting, what is farz right now, what is wajib at that moment, what is sunnah, and that we fulfill accordingly. So just to come back to how we discussed, how we started the discussion, is the Salat and Salam, congregating every Thursday together, reading together, is not a sunnah. It is just now to facilitate that we learn the words and we get used to doing this. We get used to doing it. So if we were not here also, it's still our habit to read Salat al-Salam at least. And even the dhikr also, a congregation, to raise the voice, to make it in chorus, that too just sunnah. It can be done individually, it should be done individually. And here also, our ulama has told us also, when you're making your zikr together, as you do on Thursday night, it says ideally it should be that we do it all softly, individually on our own. Not now following one person. So that's the best thing to do. But as we say now, many people are coming, new people are coming all the time, so we're learning all the time how to do it correctly. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that when it comes to deen, that we understand things correctly. So dua after salah, our zikr together, salat and salam together, all these khatams that we are making also, these are not farz, they're not wajib, they're not sunnat. Right? We can't even see also they are nafil or mustahab. We're just doing it to facilitate. But we don't have to do it like that. Remember, when it comes to salah sawab also, that can be done from anywhere at any time. You don't have to do it together. And here also, one problem we have when it comes to janazah, instead of our topic of discussion, but just to touch on these points. When it comes to janazah, then the men go to the janazah house. And unfortunately, when we go there, nobody reading Quran Sharif. We're all sitting there, unfortunately, like ladies, cross-legged now, we're talking. The ladies are reading Quran inside. So what we're coming there for, Allah knows best, we're just coming to see show a little bit. We should go to the masjid, the janazah in the house, put a notice out there on the board, please men, leave the ladies and proceed to the masjid. Leave only the family men over here, they're going to have to carry the janazah. The rest of us were no work over there. Ladies want to come, now they have to go past the men, driveway, garage, men are looking at them, men are standing over there, and they're doing nothing whatsoever. Whereas there's a time for us now to introspect. Like Hazrat says also, that one Sahabi radiallahu anhu was sitting, and a janazah passed. So somebody asked the Sahabi, who's janazah? He said, your janazah. He got upset. He said, if you got upset, then my janazah. Now it's time to ask, you should worry about your own janazah right now. You worrying how he passed away, what happened, etc. Now's the time to worry about yourself. So isala and sawab can be done from anywhere. Can be done from anywhere when you go to the qabristan. He has it mentioned a few days ago, at the qabristan also. Qabristan, what's the purpose of going to the qabristan? Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq, we make it a habit to go every week. Right? We go to the qabristan, what's the purpose of going there? Is it to read for the marhum? Because for the marhum, for the deceased, you can read from anywhere in the world, it will reach him. The purpose of going to the qabristan is for you to take lesson. That one day I want to be over here. This is the final abode. So that's the reason to go to the qabristan. Now sometimes we feel we're going to do the marhum a favor. We're going to visit the marhum and we're going to read for him. You can read from anywhere and he will get the reward. It's for you to go and ponder, introspect and think that, Ya Allah, I'm walking today, tomorrow I can be over here. It happened any time, and how they would put me in the qabr. The Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullah, and all of my Shaykh, they advise us. At least now and then, before we sleep, you put the lights off, you're sitting, you're resting against your headboard, you're reading this Bia Fatimi before you sleep, you're reading your Ayatul Kursi, you're reading your three quls, and just ponder as you're sitting in your bed, that, Ya Allah, my ruh has to come out, how they carry my body from this bed. They'll carry my janazah, they'll put me in the hearse, they'll take me to the ghusl khana. Allah, how they give me a ghusl. Sometimes they'll picture it also. That is going to happen one day. And they'll carry me away from here. The children will be crying, the wife will be crying. It's finished, I'm gone. And they'll put my kafan on, they'll bring me back home. And then they'll read for me, send me to the qabristan. So sometimes you're sitting there in the bed, just think for a little while. That, Ya Allah, it's a reality. It can happen any time. And Hazrat says also, that no matter how much a wife loves the husband also, once she feels the body is cold, the ruh is gone, she'll be the first one to phone the janazah service. Please take him away quickly. No matter how much she loved you, please take him away quickly. Make janazah quickly. Nobody will keep a dead body in the house. He says, that's the reality of life. That's the reality of life and muhabbat. One day we have to leave. It's a reality. Who's going to go first? How are we going to go? Allah Ta'ala make karam, Allah make rahim upon us. So this you should ponder a little bit also every day. When it comes to janazah, we're going to the houses. What are we going for? What's the purpose of going there? We're not just going to pass time. Leave the ladies there, then go to the masjid. Leave some Quran Sharif. We're waiting for janazah to come also. There has a sense too. We came for a janazah, but it's like a party. We're joking, we're laughing, greeting one another. Why didn't you for so long? What's happening? What's the latest? Cell phones are coming out at the qabristan also. The person being lowered in the qabr. And we feel nothing about it. He said, we become so hard. so numb inside that we don't feel anything. A person being buried right now, and I'm still taking my call. Oh, time to make dua. I take my call and I walk away from the Qabristan. Listen, where are we going to? What? Where is our iman? Where is our human feeling? We don't feel anything anymore. The Qabr is a reality. He says, now at least for us to take heed. That, ya Allah, this is a real life. We can't be running behind dunya and worrying about dunya and what is happening here, what is happening. There we're so busy at Qabristan also. There the phone doesn't leave us. Put it on silent. Yeah, I'm here right now, the Qabristan. At least make, and say to, if you can't make dua for the marhum, at least make dua for yourself. Ya Allah, make my sakarat easy. Give me a nice place where I will pass away, the best moment of my life also, making tawbah, no gunas, etc. At least make dua for oneself. Allah Ta'ala give us subhi to understand these realities of life and to prepare for them. So janazah also, there we should see how we're conducting ourselves when it comes to the janazah, the qabristan, etc. He has to be discussing this because he says, they too will be laughing, they too will be joking. Sometimes we go to the house, we laugh. He says, now everything will become a joke. All the serious things of Sharia and Deen has become jokes now. Only become the jokes. After janazah, we buried the person, we came home with Allah, and all are invited to come eat at the janazah house. And that ulama said, not permissible. To go to the janazah house, a partake of meals and make it a party, is it permissible to eat at the janazah house? If you have to go to janazah house, the masla is, you should take some food there. You will give to the family, don't worry about the food, we'll take care of it. Not that you go and eat over there. Some ulama says, absolutely impermissible to go eat at janazah house, unless you're a traveler, you came from Arab town. Then it's okay, because you're going to leave now, partake of meals, but just to go there and relax and sit and talk. No Quran tilawat, no tasalli to the family, we're just talking away. So that has become a joke, it's become a party. And after the meals also, by who will have tea? Then the baking will start. He said, what do you care for a party? The person just passed through, he's gone in the qabr. His sawal and jawab is on right now. The imtihan and the test of his life right now. If he's going to fail there, he's finished. Now's the time for you to make dua for him. Not the time to partake of meals and start talking about everything else. Now is the time to prepare ourselves. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ When it comes about jokes in deen also, Abbasad was telling us now, one of his majalis, that even the quality of the munafiqeen was like this. Allah Ta'ala protect us from becoming hypocrites. But the hypocrites were like this. They acted like real Muslims, but when it came to the individual time of their friends or people like them, then deen was like a big joke it was. Nothing was serious. So he says, Allah Ta'ala, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ That if you have to ask them about the statements of deen, and about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will say, قُلْ هُوَ أُذُنْ They say that he is all ears, meaning, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hears anything, he just quotes it. He's such a simple-minded person. And he's insane. He's a magician. If you ask them, that all the statements you made, what's it about? لَيَقُولُنَّ They will say, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوذُ وَنَلْعَبُ That they were just joking around, playing around. They weren't serious about it. They were just making the statements, playing around. So Allah Ta'ala rebukes them. Hazrat says, now sometimes we go for janazah, or we're meeting up sometime, and now we want to talk some deeny things. But nowadays, what's deeny things? Hazrat says also, if you want to break up a gathering, start talking about deen. You say, now bhai, you're talking on heavy things now. Tashkil you're starting now. Ishtima is coming now. You know, everything is joke only. Bhai, something serious. We have to think about it. Whole week we're joking, at least now. To be about our serious, about our life, what we're going to do, some commitment to deen at least. We're committing everywhere else. He says, yeah, everything becomes a joke. And we want to make it a joke also. We want to make fun of that person. Hazrat says, deen is not a thing to joke about. It's a serious affair. It's got to do with our qabr, our akhirat. To the extent, Hazrat says also, sometimes the people in the hanka are joking about people in tabligh. They look at the satis. And then the satis and tabligh joking about people in the khanka, look at them. They're making zikr there. They should be given for 3 days, making fikr on the ummah. What they're doing over there? He says, you're all doing deen work. Allah Ta'ala says also, you can't joke sometimes about the makatib, the madari. Some people say now, darulum, what the boys are wasting their time. All masail they're learning about. Where is going to help us? You must become relevant, contemporary. Sometimes an alim, young alim, just qualified, is giving so Jummah bayan. Now you're an academic, mashallah, your grammar, comprehension is very advanced, very vast also. Now we get different types of people coming for the majlis, for the bayan. Muswila Khan Sahib will say, Rahmatullah Alayh, that you get one person now, he's going to listen to the presentation of the speaker. Is he really an orator or not? So he's coming to see his grammar presentation. How was it? How many jawbreakers? How flowery it was? Synonyms, antonyms, and all this. Now he used to check how the person presentation, introduction, body, and what they say? Conclusion. Right? And this was a class. What a presentation. It was a top. But really, by what you learned from there? Really nothing. He didn't take anything. So one person is like that. Other person comes just to criticize only. And the third person comes, he has nothing to do. Chalo bhai, we just go listen to some talk. He says, that person will benefit at least a little bit. But the person came to engage the speaker and the person came to criticize. It was better they didn't come for the bayan. Because you're going to make comments now which will have an adverse effect on your iman. So here the munafiqeen used to come. They used to sit in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hypocrites. After they used to leave the gathering, and then they used to meet outside, and then they used to say, Mata qala anifa? Yeah, what he said just now? What he was talking? All heavy stuff. Talking about this thing and that thing. And so this was the quality and the reaction of the hypocrites. So Allah Ta'ala opened it up completely in Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala warned them, if you don't stop, then I will open up the entire qualities of munafiqeen, and O Nabi of Allah, you recognize him openly now. وَلَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala says, those people, we seal their hearts. We seal their hearts just on the statements like this. And what is talking? So Allah says, you should be careful. Doesn't mean I'm in khanka now, I can pick on tablighis. Doesn't mean I'm in tabligh, but we're all in deen. We can't pick on anybody. We don't know who has ikhlas, who has sincerity, who's doing the effort of deen. Unfortunately, when it comes to madrasas and darul ulums also, the boys are coming, alhamdulillah, they're doing academically very well. And one boy now trying to change his life. Now you think a boy in Darul changing his life. Yes, they come to change their life also. Doesn't mean in Darul Ulum he's coming now, he's a wali of Allah. But they come to study kitabs, they want to change, they want to become paban. It happens in Darul Ulum also. The boy just a little bit also change, adds two more rakats to his awabin, who is nafil. And the boys will say, hey, big Sufi sahab, what happened to you today now? The Hazrat says, oh student of deen, you came Darul Ulum for what? To become a Sufi sahab. What do you came for then? You came to become pious over here. Now you're making a mockery of that boy. Oh, now he's a big sheikh. He took bet to a sheikh now. He's a big hazrat. He's a big hazrat. Yes, the wife tells you it's all right. You don't give up this bayan now. But now you're telling me all these things over here. You didn't see my khilafat. No, boy. You don't tell the wife all those things over there. She can tell you. No problem. But you can't say, somebody, oh, big hazrat. You make a joke of it. That, oh, this person, mashallah. Got a big khanka topi now. He's going to that this thing there. It's all mockery of deen. It's all and serious things. Here the munafiqeen used to do it. They used to say, innama kunna nakhudu wa nal'ab. We're just joking around. We're just playing around. We don't mean anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuttal. Allah ta'ala made rad. And Allah ta'ala answered them, قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ Allah ta'ala replied, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, بِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ تستهزئون. Are you mocking? بالله, are you mocking at Allah? And the signs of Allah, the verses of Allah and His Rasul? How dare you? Allah Ta'ala answered in the skies, tell them that this is joking a little bit. What he said is all ears. Oh, he's a mad person making zikr whole day, going jama'at. What is jama'at? 4 months. Well, keep quiet. If you can't go, keep quiet. Make dua. Allah Ta'ala accept me also. Alright, unfortunately, like sometimes. In the student days, we used to go make gush in the darulum, to the rooms. Then the boys see the jamaat coming. One boy shouted, hey, taklif jamaat coming. Taklif, na'uzubillah, taklif jamaat. How is taklif jamaat? By the walking with the rahmat of Allah. Alright, come to our door also. Then we make fun of the jamaat sometime. Alright, we hear that tell the jamaat, your father is not here. Boy comes in, father said he's not here. My father said, he's not here. Boy, welcome them. Listen to them 2 minutes at least. So all these are all signs of deen. We can't make a mockery of it. That's why you should be very, very careful what we say. Shouldn't be that we just say these things. We just say, son, amongst the ladies also, they might say, oh, that one, she went to hijab. Oh, she's wasting her time. She's wearing parada now. I will give her 1 month, we'll see after 1 month, she'll take it out. She'll come back. She won't last like that. Oh, she went for hajj. We can't say things like that. Detrimental to our iman. Allah Ta'ala says, don't mock. Don't say, no, we're only joking with her. We're only playing around. We didn't mean it. Munafiqeen, hypocrites, you see the same thing also. We didn't mean it. We were just joking. Allah Ta'ala caught them on that also. Ask them, what's this you're talking about? Then they will say, no, we're just joking. Allah says, are you mockering with Allah? Are you playing the fool? Are you mockering at Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the signs of Allah and the Rasul of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? Therefore, that's why Ajib Apari has to say Rahmatullah Ali. That somebody asks an alim, there's a certain thing now, is it farz, wajib, sunnat? So he said, it's sunnat. He said, oh, it's only sunnat. So Hadith Sahib mentioned that his question and how he replied to it, the answer, he says, yes, it was sunnat. Not making amal upon the sunnah won't make you a kafir. But his reaction and his tone of saying it was kufr. Only sunnat. He said, that was kufr. How dare you even say it's only a sunnat? Yes, just being a sunnat and not doing it won't make you a kafir. But just to utter it like that, the danger of your iman right now. So we can't even joke with these things over here now. Right, when it comes to the sunnahs, comes to hijab, comes to parda, comes to piety, comes to taqwa, and people doing these things, we can't make fun and joke about these things. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. When it comes to deen, and if you don't know, better we say we don't know. Don't guess. As I mentioned now, sometimes we see things we do in the khanqa, we do in tabligh, we don't know the proofs, we don't know the dalil. Don't get into a fight. No, they're doing it like that. Must be right. So, I don't know, I'll find out. But you don't prove something which is not farz as farz, something which is not sunnah as sunnah, because Hazrat is doing it, so he's right. No, not necessarily. Nobody's action is a proof of Sharia. That person himself must abide to the Sharia. I have to check myself also whether it's correct. So we can't just now follow blindly. We have to see, ask the Shaykh also, is this correct, is that correct? So we got to check it up properly before we get into any arguments. And that we avoid the arguments. Person always waiting for jagra, waiting fight, making ikhtila, making difference of opinion. And nowadays, unfortunately, the ummah are looking for masail not to do the amal. They're looking for masail. Oh, so you don't have to do it like that. So it's okay now. Unlike before, where they will see the amal and you want to do it. Now you're finding out now whether do we have to wear scarf eating time? Do we have to wear scarf in the house? Do we have to do this? Oh, we don't have to, so we don't do it. Now we're looking for masail there not to do the amal. Even the men also, do we have to do it like this? But we want to do more. When we're closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gave us sufi to make amal, inshallah. I read a few lines in this kitab, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Last week we were reading from the kitab, Ilaj al-Ghadab, the treatment for anger. So last week we read, as the Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, there were a few wazifas to do when a person has anger, or for the wife also, what she must read, like durudatun jina 7 times, al-kazimin al-ghayz 7 times, blow into the water. So these are wazifas for a person to read to control his anger, or for the wife also. She knows husband has an anger problem, then she should read these wazifas. Allah Ta'ala will assist her, inshallah. Ar-Razaq, the one who provides excessively. So that discusses the sifat quality of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Ar-Razaq. You also, we should be very careful, particular. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding and the himmat. Some brothers, we call him Razaq Bhai. It's not permissible. Razaq is Allah. This is the name of Allah that cannot be given to any of the creation. We say Rahim Bhai, Rahman Bhai. Alright. Hazrat says, now even you make a mockery of names also. Person's name is, used to call him Joe. He's Rahim, say Raymond. And Suleiman became Soli. He said, now all these names of Anbiya Ali Musa, that to be changed. He says that to now what they classified as a joke. You know? Even the name Muhammad also. Mo Joe and Mo this and Mo that. Inna lillahi. What we have done to the deen of Allah? That even these names are such beautiful names, that to now we change it just to make ourselves a bit cool. But it's not cool. Is that bringing any cool air of hidayat? That now we're just changing these things. Therefore our children also, anybody has to keep some nickname for them, tell them Now you see, his name is not Mo, his name is Muhammad. His name is Muhammad, and learn to pronounce the names correctly. Well, before the old, they say Ahmad. Right, so we correct it, Ahmad, Muhammad, Ibrahim, we say Ibrahim. So at least we should try now to see the names correctly to get the full effect of that name also. So when it comes to these attributes of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, right, the name is Abdul Razak, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahim. We say Qadir Bhai or Khaliq Bhai. Now Khaliq, Khaliq means Khaliq, the creator. He is not Khaliq Bhai. He didn't create anybody. Allah Ta'ala is Khaliq. Rahman is Allah. Rahim is Allah. Razak is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So now this has come on people's tongues. Now going ahead, inshallah, right, you should make sure our children or family people, we call them by their full names. So Ar-Razaq, the one who provides excessively. How powerful was not Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam? The Quran states that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam stuck a Qibti, stuck a Qibti, a Coptic. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ Musa alayhi salatu wa salam gave him a single blow, and that one, he passed away. He lost his life, which caused him to die. One can thus, in this Coptic, this Qibti, was from the people of Fir'aun. The Coptics, he was from Fir'aun's nation, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had within the Bani Israel, who we call the Jews nowadays, the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a dispute, so he stepped in and he gave this person a single blow and he passed away. So one can determine the strength he possessed from this. A thought had once come to the mind of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as to how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sustains his creation. It was upon this thought that he was commanded to strike a rock and was shown an insect inside the rock. This should not be construed as a doubt in the heart of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had this doubt. That, ya Allah, can you really feel like that? Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, do Allah, arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Ya Allah, show me how you give life to the dead once again. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Allah Ta'ala asked, oh Ibrahim, don't you believe? He says, yes Allah, definitely I believe. But I want now just for the satisfaction of my heart. يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِ So I see it, my heart has, okay, it's done like this. You believe it? We believe it. Hazrat say, we didn't see so many countries, but we believe it's there. Only Umar Parampur, you say, Rahmatul Alayhi, his Sahaba Ikram believe Jannat, like how we believe the country is there without seeing it, they believe Jannat is there. That's how they work for it. Like how you take a visa, I'm going to that country. You never saw it. But I'm going there, I know it's there. That's how they made amal to get their visa for Jannat as if they saw it. They knew it's there. And they work for Jannat like that. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also, not that he had doubt. Ya Allah, I just want to do it. I want to see it. So my heart has satisfaction. This is how Allah Ta'ala does it. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala commanded him that فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ That, oh Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, take four birds, cut them into pieces, mix the meat, and leave them on different mountain tops. And then call out to them. So he cut them up, slaughtered them, cut the four birds. Some of us didn't say the four birds were the peacock, was a vulture, was a rooster, and was a crow. Four birds. So he cut them up, put them on the mountain tops, and then he called out to them. As he called out to them, Allah Ta'ala put them together and they all flew out and he saw them. Ya Allah, this is how you do it. Because now you know a certain thing, how it is. Person says, no, the car is fixed up. You know the top mechanic, but just open the bonnet, I want to see. So I got it, Minan, okay, everything is covered properly. All the bolts, really you put it tight, it's done. Now you got it. But you believe him, it's fixed up, it's done. But you see the stamp also, you open the bonnet, you see everything is done. So you want to see the tartib. How Allah Ta'ala does it. So Allah Ta'ala showed him. So here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, how do you sustain? So Allah Ta'ala says, strike the rock. He had his staff in his hand, asa. So he struck it. So don't have a doubt that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had a doubt in his heart, for the perfection in iman of all anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is undeniable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to strike his stick upon a rock. The rock broke into two, and from within it came out a tiny little insect with a green leaf in its mouth, eating its sustenance. Fresh green leaf within the rock. Yet there was no hole in the rock for it to have come out to look for its food. Here Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala was showing Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam how Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sustains his creation. The above incident is recorded in the commentary of the verse Umam in Da'batin fil Ardi illa Allah rizqa. There is no animal, living creature that walks the surface of the earth except it is upon Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to sustain. Allah said, I will sustain. I don't ask you for sustenance. I will sustain you. Ruhul Ma'ani al-Ma'lusi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this tafsir. When the insect emerged from the rock, it was reciting this wazifa. Allah Ta'ala gave him the power of hearing what this insect was saying. So the insect was praising Allah, Subhana may yarani, Subhana may yarani, wa yasma'u kalami, wa ya'rifu makani, wa yadhkuruni wa la yansani. Subhanallah. All the insects, all animals in the universe are praising Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala caused him to hear how this little insect was praising Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Subhana may yarani, which means purity belongs to Allah who is watching me. Allah is watching me even in the, within the darkness of the zarak. Allah is watching me, Allah knows. O yasma'u kalami, who hears my speech. Allah Ta'ala hears me there also within the zarak. O ya'rifu makani, who knows my place of living. Allah Ta'ala knows. Hazrat beautifully, in our simple language, Hazrat Mixtar Juma translates, Allah Ta'ala knows my physical address. Allah Ta'ala sends the, we can say now 60 minutes. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't say 60 minutes, blink of an eye. Allah Ta'ala sends it like that. Send his rosy to him. وَيَعْرِفُ مَكَانِي وَيَذْكُرُنِي وَلَا يَنْسَانِي. And Allah Ta'ala remembers me and does not forget to sustain me. This little insect is praising Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sustaining like that. Within the rock, dark rock, Allah Ta'ala caused a green leaf to be the sustenance of that animal or that insect. If Allah Ta'ala can sustain an animal like that, which doesn't have so much intelligence, insan who has intelligence still has doubt in Allah. Although Allah Ta'ala is still giving him, he still lives in this doubt. That's why Hazrat says we have to make such an effort on our iman, our kalima, that yaqeen comes in the heart. And through my salah, Allah will sustain me. Through my dhikr, Allah will sustain me. More than I count and see my bank balance, I take the name of Allah, through the barakat of the name of Allah, Allah will sustain me. Sustenance of the heart, sustenance physically, Allah Ta'ala will take care of me. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi narrates an incident in his Tafsir Kabir. Great Mufassir, great commentator of Quran Sharif. He says, once prior to receiving Nubuwat, Musa alayhi salatu salam's lamb ran away from his flock. And we know every Nabi of Allah was a shepherd. That is why Allah Ta'ala trained them to look after the makhluk. They were able to look after sheep, look after animals, so they build the ability now to take care of the creation. They had tolerance in them. They could overlook animals like with a lot of tolerance. That's why they say that person who practices and he has tolerance in his life, overlooks the faults of people, his family people, people around him, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with two things. Allah Ta'ala will bless him with love for the creation, and Allah Ta'ala will bless him with concern for the creation. Otherwise his life will come out, he'll love himself only and worry about himself only. And he'll be a parasite on others. He'll live off others and never worry about the akhirat also. What is going to happen to them when they go in the qabr? He'll only worry about himself. But the person, Allah opens his heart, because the khalq and the creation are the dependents of Allah, the family of Allah. So whether he's a kafir also, yes, there are different stages of what relationship to keep with the kafir. Ulama explained, you get mudahanat and you get mudarat, etc. There were four different stages of how to keep companionship with kuffar. To what extent, whether we can have bosom relationships with them, not permissible. To have a deep relationship, the qalbi, so it's called qalbi ta'alluq. It really is my real, true friend, non-Muslim, not permissible. His effect of kufr will fall onto you, and you won't even realize it also. It will happen. Yes, for the sake now of da'wat, to keep the ta'alluq, for the sake now to be safe from the evil, for the sake of business transactions, etc., yes, for that we can keep friendship, but beyond that, not permissible. Or kuffar to be bosom friends with them. So here the lamb ran away from his flock. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this before his nubuwat, before being a Nabi. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ran behind it for miles on end in order to catch it. In the process, he hurt his feet by running through the thorns which pierced his flesh, causing him to bleed profusely. The lamb continued running until two was bruised and battered. Finally he stood at one place, breathing heavily, unable to run anymore. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam caught the tired little animal, and instead of being angry at it, tears flowed from his eyes as he consoled the animal, saying, "O sheep, if you did not feel sorry for Musa, at least you should have pitied yourself. Why did you put yourself into such trouble?" So his heart, josh of rahmat, force of rahmat came into his heart. Before removing the thorns from his own feet, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam first removed the thorns from the sheep, then rubbed and pressed its legs, lifted it onto his shoulders, and carried it back to the flock. Imagine what we would have done to the animal qurbani time we see. If it had caused so much of trouble and pain, perhaps he would have beaten the poor animal or even slaughtered it. But what did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam do? He showed no sign of anger. Instead, he showed great mercy for the weak creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi writes that the malaika said to Allah, "O Allah, this person is worthy of becoming a Nabi because of his qualities of tolerance and patience. O Allah, do make him a Nabi." This incident took place before Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given nubuwwat. Allah ta'ala replied, "I have already chosen him to be my Nabi. Those from whom Allah has destined high stages, Allah imbues with noble qualities and strength of tolerance. It is not correct to become mad with anger at the slightest provocation. From here we learn tolerance. When I get angry, think of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, what Allah ta'ala gave him? And subhanallah, we find our mashayikh also, Allah ta'ala had blessed him. What tolerance, what love for the creation. These two incidents will eventually conclude. Muhammad Ilyas ibn rahmatullah, the Amir of Tabligh. Not a very strong person, very weak person also. He said once he went to Mewat, and the Mewat is a very tough people. They were farmers. He said, Pura din bhes ke peeche. All day they should be behind the buffaloes, tilting the land, cultivating the land. Tough people. So he used to go into the fields, he used to make salam with them. He said, "Bhai, give me a little bit of your time, I want to talk to you." And he used to give them da'wat. But they were so tough people, physically and mentally also, that they just never could understand what he was telling them. So one person, he tapped him, he said, "Bhai, give me a few minutes, I'm busy." He said, "One, 2 minutes, please, I'm busy." So he, with muhabbat, love, he went to him. So this person, Mewati, got so upset. He struck Maulana with a powerful blow. He slapped him. Maulana fell down. Maulana fell. And when he got up, he asked that person, "Did you have pain?" He said, "What's wrong with you? I hit you, you asked about my hand." He said, that statement of Maulana softened the person's heart completely. He became his slave after that. He said, "What kind of man? What do you want from me?" And Allah Ta'ala opened his heart. Allah Ta'ala, what tolerance. You and I, what we won't do and what we won't tell that person. But all in the love of Allah, love for the creation of Allah. Shaykhul Islam, wa Alam Hussain Ahmad Badni Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in the train. Had a Hindu sitting next to him, So the Hindu excused himself, "I just want to use the bathroom, toilet." So he went. And he came back very quickly. Shaykhul Islam, wa Alam Hussain Ahmad Badni, just to understand who he was, we mentioned before, 18 years. For 18 years, he taught Hadith Sharif in the Ruwada of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 18 years, every day was a sabak in the Ruwada at that time. Right. Many incidents about him, seeing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, getting a reply from the Qabr also upon his salam from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Men of that caliber, subhanallah. Sitting in the train, Hindu person goes to the toilet, he comes back quickly, he gauges, "I don't think this man relieved himself." So Hazrat himself got up. After he returned to India, he was the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband also. He was also locked up, wasn't actually locked up in jail in Malta. His ustaz, Shaykh al-Hind, Mahmud al-Hassan Sahab, was locked up in jail in Malta. He voluntarily joined his ustaz in jail to make his khidmat. About 3 years, I think it was. All he used to do at night, the lota of water, the jug of water, he used to fill it up. It was freezing cold. He used to fill it up and he used to lean against the wall and he used to put that jug with a lota of water between his thighs and his belly to keep the water warm for tahajjud with the ustaz. When he wakes up, he'll be ready with the water to give him. Like this he made khidmat. A man of his caliber. He saw this Hindu now, I'm sure he didn't relieve himself. So he went to the toilet in the train in India, and he saw the mess in the toilet. He went in and he closed the door. He came out of a few minutes, went to the Hindu. He said, you can use the bathroom, I cleaned it for you. It was messed up completely. Himself, he cleaned it. We can imagine now to what level of humility they had. The cleaning even feces too was nothing big for them. Here I saw brothers in Jamaat Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali. We used to go to Shab Guzari before in Junction. The toilets were outside. It used to be in a state by evening. And here the brothers will tell you, after the long mashwara, the Haji Sahib will disappear. Where he's going to, we don't know. All are going to sleep. And there was one door that you close, then you can't go to all the toilets inside. The door used to be closed. So once somebody somehow got in and saw Haji Sahib on his knees, scrubbing the toilets, the Amir of the country. Haji Sahib, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking out all my muck. Taking out? People say, Haji Sahib, Amir Sahib, so all the muck in my heart, I'm taking it out. Really, I'm the khadim of the people. So that also is sunnah, to make khidmat of the people, bring humility, that Allah Ta'ala will give us the sifat, and all this anger won't be there. Anger, as you say, is the offshoot, is the illegitimate child of pride. You know who I am. Don't tap my toes. Don't tell me what to do. I'll tell you. Even I can be now, I can be an expert, I can be top of the league, etc. But to Allah, I'm nothing. I say, Urdu, me kuch nahi, mera kuch nahi. I am nothing, nothing is mine. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. Here also Hazrat tells us that we learn these certain things. Me kuch nahi, mera kuch nahi. That I am nothing, nothing is mine. But he say, let somebody else tell you that. You are nothing, nothing is yours. Let the family tell you, wife tell you. You are nothing. Then he says, now you see really. But for you to say it is easy. But somebody will tell you that you are nothing, nothing is yours. I must be really. Everything belongs to Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq understanding, inshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Fadhkuruni adhkurukum ana jalisu man dhakarani. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 جل جلاله Allah, 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 Allah. Just one point I remember now, as it mentioned in regards to talking about people, he says sometimes we have to say certain things that is farz or wajib upon us, that we have to say it. At that time, we don't keep quiet. One example Hazrat gave is somebody phones you for reference of a boy or a girl. Then you don't say, I don't say. This is the time for you to speak now. Somebody asks you for mashwara, then you are entrusted. You are entrusted, there is not a ghibat. Then if you know the boy has a bad habit, has a bad track record presently, then it is farz upon you to mention it. Is that ghibat? You're not speaking bad about anybody. Because somebody asked you, in the Hadith Sharif is clear, Al-Mustasharu Mu'tamanun. The person who asked for mashwara has been entrusted. So it becomes a wajib, a right of the person asking you, that you're honest to him. So if you know something, then you can't say, no, I don't to say. You see, when you're supposed to speak, now you don't speak. When it comes to bashing somebody now, right, wrongfully, without any right, then there you have a go at it. But here when you're supposed to sit as it, not now, speaking bad of somebody, yes, if it was in his past, the person has changed, there's no need to bring the past up. Presently, from what you know, alhamdulillah, he's looking good, he's well, everything is there, alhamdulillah, then you should say it. But if you know there's a problem right now, then a person should say that there is a problem right now, he has some weakness in him, etc. So please be careful. So there's nothing wrong with that. So if somebody in our family also has this problem, somebody else gave reference, which is not good, we should get upset. Why you have to say it? He asked you for mashwara. So you have to say it also. So both ways we have to say it. That somebody says about our family member, we don't get angry. It's wrong, you have to say it. And somebody asked me to, then I have to say it. And this is something that we have to take note of. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa laqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya Halim, ya Kareem, ya Wasi' al-Maghfara. O Kareem, Rahim Allah, ya Allah grant us complete Islah, perfect Islah, O may Allah, reform our hearts, O may Allah. Change the condition of our hearts, O may Allah. Purify our eyes, O may Allah. Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, tawfiq to use our eyes in your obedience, O may Allah. To use our tongues in your obedience, O may Allah. Our hearts, our minds, our faculties, O may Allah. Ya Allah, save us, O may Kareem Rahim Allah, for breaking your commands, O may Allah. Keep us in your obedience, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, pull us from our forelocks towards your obedience. Ya Allah, with the power of jazban, pull, O may Allah. Pull us towards you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Save us from the fitnas around us, O may Allah. Save our children, O may Allah. Ya Allah, you protect the iman, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, give us taqwa, give our families taqwa, our children taqwa. Give us so much love for you, O Kareem Rahim Allah, that no fitna, no shaitan, no nafs can take us away from you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, everywhere we turn, there's only fitna, there's only fasad, only temptations, only zina, only haram, O may Allah. Ya Allah, only you can protect us, O my beloved Allah. We thank you for all your ni'mats, O my Allah. You brought us with these programs. Ya Allah, given us great mashayikh, O my Allah. Keep them with afiyat, sihat, and salamat. Give us tawfiq, O my Allah, to benefit from them, O my Allah. Open our hearts, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Give us a life of obedience to you, a life of sunnat. Ya Allah, we enjoy ourselves, O my Allah, fulfilling your commands, O my Allah. Adopting the sunnats of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And O may Allah, all the entertainment of the world, Ya Allah, make it bland for us, O may Allah. We don't find enjoyment. O may Allah, we find enjoyment in all the things that you want us to do, O may Allah. Save us from those things, Ya Allah, that displease you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, make our dunya easy for us. Make our sakarat easy for us. Make our qabr easy for us. Make our akhirat easy for us. O Kareem Rahim Allah, Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'u al-alim. Ya Allah, make our ijtima'a great success, O may Allah. Ya Allah, make it conducive, O may Allah. The bayans, Ya Allah, the amal, ummahi Allah, the weather wa kareem rahim Allah, except every one of us who's striving your path, our health, our wealth, our time, except our lives with the khidmat of deen, ummahi kareem rahim Allah, Allah bless us with the bliss of dunya, the bliss of akhirat, and all the programs that are taking place, except them ummahi Allah, except us all for the khidmat of deen, ummahi kareem rahim Allah, Allah wa hazrat wa ala, and all our mashayikh, keep them in afiyat, except they suffer, make it easy for them, Allah make it the means of hidayat for ourselves, ummahi Allah, save us from strainness, save us from deviation, ummahi Allah, keep us upon sirati mustaqim, all those that are sick and ailing, Allah, grant them shifai, ajil, kamil, mustamir, whatever they're experiencing, ummahi Allah, make it easy for them, ummahi kareem rahim Allah, all those in debts, ummahi Allah, remove the debts, Allah, your khazana is very great, ummahi Allah, ummahi Allah, Allah, you give with your happiness, Allah, with your pleasure, Allah, save us some interest, save us from the banks, ummahi Allah, Allah, provide plenty of halal for us, save us from haram, save us from stretching our hands out to anyone besides you, my beloved Allah, ummahi kareem rahim Allah, all those, ummahi Allah, who wish to get married, ummahi Allah, Allah, you send for them suitable and pious spouses, Allah, let them settle down, Allah, make it easy for them, all of the disputes in their homes, Allah, grant muhabbat, love, understanding, compatibility, save us, Allah, from broken homes, save our children from broken homes, ummahi Allah, make our dunya, make our akhirat, ummahi Allah, be happy with us, be pleased with us, Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka at-tasami العليم نتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين. Just a reminder, tomorrow the Shab Guzari also program Masjid Hilal. Brothers are requested to come and take part in the program, if not from Asar, not Maghrib, at least Isha program, Fajr program, and then our Ishtima next week also. Brothers can start indicating how we're going by bus or taking our private cars, make the shkil, take somebody with us. We don't know whose heart will change, Wallah will accept. There's only one ishtima in the whole year. So let us make the best of it, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept it. Shouldn't be that we disregard it and Allah Ta'ala takes the ni'mat away from us. The great ni'mat we can have these such big ishtimas in our country. What a ni'mat of Allah. That we don't have all the restrictions upon us. Other countries, it's so difficult to build masjid also. We have all this. Let's take advantage of it and make the best of it. Allah Ta'ala accept us, inshallah. Subhanakallah.